This download is the only extract the BBC has of this edition of Desert Island Discs. The presenter was Roy Plumley.
Dick, where were you born?
I was born in Pembrokeshire, South Wales, which is always known as Little England Beyond Wales.
Welsh roots?
Welsh roots. Unfortunately, I can't speak Welsh.
You come from a horse-loving family.
Yes, both my father and grandfather rode for years before me.
Did you learn to ride as a very young child?
Yes, as a boy when I was at school, and I was more or less born in the saddle, really.
Your father had a hunting stable.
He had a hunting stables at Wokingham, Berkshire, just before the war. And when I left school, I went into the business with him until the war broke out, and then I joined the Air Force, had 6 years in the Air Force. Yeah.
You were a pilot?
I was a pilot, yes.
And when the war was over?
When the war was over, I went back into the business, hoping that I should build it up again, father having kept it going all through the war, but unfortunately the horse dealing business wasn't as good then as it had been before the war, so I went up to Cheshire and went into it.
Mm. Had you had a boyhood ambition to be a jockey?
Always wanted to be a jockey. My father and mother were never very keen on me being so, but I always wanted to be, and I took the first opportunity of being one when I could.
How did you do with your first mount?
Well, the first mount I had was Russian Hero, funnily enough. He finished fourth in a novice chase at war hunt, and funnily enough, 2.5 years later, my first Grand National mount, Royman, finished second, and what should beat me but Russian Hero? Rather rubbing it in, I thought.
You began as an amateur. Being an amateur steeplechase jockey must be rather an expensive hobby.
It's expensive if one lives at home and one has to get about the place, but I worked for George Owen as his secretary for a number of years, and he went racing a lot, and I went with him, and his owners gave me lifts when I couldn't. I also had a car of my own, but I managed, probably on the shoestring. But
why did you stick to steeplechasing?
Well, I'm too big for flat racing. My normal weight's about 10 stone, or was when I was riding. I'm a bit more now. And also, I think steeplechasing is, oh, there's much more thrill out of jumping the obstacles than there is galloping on the flat. And the people who go steeplechasing, they're much nice. I shouldn't say that, but I think they do it more fun than business. Flat racing is rather business-wise.
Yes, the prizes are smaller and the atmosphere somehow seems meatier.
Yeah, quite right, yes.
Mm-hmm. When did you turn professional?
I turned professional in March 1948.
How long had you been riding?
I'd been riding for 18 months as an amateur, and the stewards thought I was taking too much of the bread and butter out of the professionals' mouths, and they had me in at the National Hunt meeting at Cheltenham, and they said, Francis, look, you're having too many rides as an amateur. We think you ought to turn professional. Have you any objections to doing this at the end of the season? Well, I couldn't put up any objections, so I said no. They said, well, after having a word between themselves, they said, well, we think we'd better turn at the end of this week. So that was the end of my days as an amateur jockey. I never regretted it afterwards.
A professional jockey works for a flat fee per race, doesn't he?
Nowadays, yes. When I was riding, it was 7 guineas for every ride and 10 guineas for a winner. But nowadays, it's 10 guineas for every ride. The professional jockey hopes that he will get a present for winning a race, but it's not in the rules that he should do.
Is a jockey engaged by the trainer or by the owner?
Chiefly by the trainer. My first big job as a professional jockey, I was fortunate enough to be retained to ride for Lord Bicester, who was a big owner in those days. Mm-hmm. And I went on riding for him until he died. And then I was retained to ride for Peter Caslett's stable. And his sort of biggest owner is Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother.
Yes. Yeah. How many races does a successful jockey hope to get in a season?
Well, a successful jockey, in the first dozen or so, they hope to ride between 350, 450 rides if they possibly can. Mm-hmm. The year I was champion jockey, I rode 75 winners, and it was somewhere around about 400 mounts that yeah. year.
Now, you have your regular rides for the stables that retain you, but for casual engagements, does that mean you sometimes don't see the horse before you ride it?
Oh, very often, yes. One doesn't see one's horse, but one hopes one knows a little bit about its history, but you often don't see it.
On a course where you've never ridden before, do you always get a chance to inspect the jumps?
Every jockey should walk round before he rides. I walked round every course except one. One was place I went to on an Easter Monday, and the traffic held me up. I couldn't get there in time to walk around, but every jockey should walk around and weigh up things from the course.
Yes. Now, the year you were champion jockey, which year was it?
1953-54.
Mm-hmm. How many Grand Nationals have you ridden in?
Eight.
Do you agree that this is a cruel race?
No, I don't. The sort of horses that are entered for it are bold, good horses. It's a wonderful track to ride on, I think. The National gets one a little bit excited on the day, and everything works up to it, but the other races they hold around the course, they're great thrill to ride in.
Yes. And one of the great mysteries in the history of the Grand National was the strange case of Devon Locke in 1956. Now, you were riding Devon Locke for Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Now, will you tell us that story?
Well, a lot of things have been put forward why he collapsed 50 yards from the winning post.
You were way out in front, weren't you?
I was about 10 lengths in front, and if only he'd finished that last 50 yards, he would have won it in record time. The horse that did eventually win it, ESB, was only 1 or 2 seconds outside the record, and I was about 10 lengths in front of him at that time. I think the reason why he collapsed was because it was a royal winner. Everyone was cheering their hearts out, and their heads off, really. And this horse jumped the last fence as well as he jumped any all the way. I had a wonderful ride. And then about 50 yards from the winning post, you pass the water jump, which is on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at the film many times since, and I see the horse just prick his ears, saying, "Ah, I've been here before." And I think as he did that, the crescendo hit him in the ears.
The crescendo of sound?
The crescendo of sound hit him. And just for a split second, his hind leg refused to work. His front ones went up to try and save himself, and down he went, and we sprawled out on the ground. Funnily enough, we didn't part company, but he got up and he couldn't move because he'd pulled all his muscles by going down. But
yes, this must have been a terribly disappointing day for you.
Oh, the greatest disappointment I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide to retire from racing?
Well, it was rather forced upon me, and 10 months after that Grand National episode in 1956, I had a number of falls, and each fall was taking longer to get over than they had done a few years previously.
Did you consider you were injury prone? Were you getting more?
Oh, no. No, I wasn't injury prone. I was 40 prone, really. I was getting towards 40. And I never had a really serious accident. I broke some vertebrae in my back once or twice, but I didn't have anything which really kept me off for a long time.
Since you retired, you've been doing some judging, of course, and you've become a racing journalist.
Yes, that's right. And the Sunday Express asked me if I would write a few articles for them after I gave up, and a few articles have developed into 10 years' work now.
Yes. So you still go to all the meetings?
I go about 3 or 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And you've written some thrillers?
Yes.
How many? I'm
on my 6th now. It's called Blood Sport.
Yes.
It'd been a lot harder work than riding was, but I've got a lot of satisfaction out of them.
All with racing backgrounds?
All with horses as a background.
Mm-hmm. In the footsteps of Edgar Wallace and further back, Nat Gould.
Well, yes, I suppose so, yes.
How long do you take to write one?
Well, I think about it from the time the last manuscript goes in about Easter until the boys go back to school in the autumn, and then it takes me until probably the Easter to finish it.
Yes. And boys, your 2 sons?
2 sons, Merrick and Felix, yes.
Are you a disciplined writer? Can you write so much a day?
I'm afraid not. No, it probably would be easier if one could stop and get down to it, but I have to write when the mood takes me and when the occasion rises, really.
So this is the pattern, the weekly article and a novel every year.
That's about it, yes. I hope so, for some time to come, anyhow.